حضرت عبداللہ بن مسعود رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ, may Allah be pleased with him. He narrates a hadith, he narrated in a hadith. This is in Sharh Sunnah, this hadith, and also Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahimahullah has also mentioned this hadith in his wise, in his lectures. And he stated the meaning of the hadith is such that at the time of the expedition of Badr, at that time the circumstances were fairly extreme in the sense of poverty, and it was the initial stage of Deen, the initial days of Islam. And at the time of the expedition of Badr, when the Muslims started to gather for taking part, they didn't have much, they didn't have many provisions. They didn't have many things that they could take with them for their benefit and use in comparison to those who were against them, who had a lot of goods and resources. So the situation was such that at that time, at that opportunity, they were traveling, the Sahaba Ikram, for the sake of Allah, the Sahaba and the noble companions and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the decision was made that because there weren't enough animals to ride upon, and each of the Sahaba did not have his own animal to ride upon, so they decided, let's do this, that we will take turns, we'll split the animals, and on each animal, after they made the accounts and the count and the analysis, they said that on each, for example, horse or camel, three companions will use and will take turns. One will walk and the others will sit on the horse or the camel, the animal, and will rotate. So they split it up. They split the Sahaba across three, and they took a camel each, the group of three. And Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his two partners were two other companions. And one was Hazrat Abu Lubaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, very great companion. And the other companion was Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh radiallahu anhu. And third was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. So this was the group of three that were sharing the camel. So according to the principle, one had to walk physically, the other two would sit on the animal, and then they would rotate. So it stated that when it came to the turn of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to walk on foot, then both the other companions requested, and with respect and humbly, that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please, you do not walk on foot. We will take your turn. We will replace you during your turn. This is what the Sahaba requested. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, and the reply was this, that do you think that I am less in terms of need, or am I less stronger than you? And then Rasulullah stated that walking on foot, the thawab, the reward, I also need this. Subhanallah. So this is a hadith, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Now, Islam is such a deen, it is such a way of life, a religion, a way of life, a deen, alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to those who believe in Islam, the mu'mins, the Muslim, the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a framework, and Allah ta'ala hasn't restricted worship to a certain place or time. Rather, Islam is such a great way of life, and the status of a mu'min, a believer, is that every aspect of life, every second of life, every phase of life, every stage of life of a Muslim is ibadah, worship. Because a mu'min has one viewpoint, one objective, one approach, and every mu'min has this approach, and that approach is to attain reward in the hereafter. Not just to get to the hereafter, but as much as possible to elevate and increase our ranks and stages and levels and rewards in the hereafter, to get to the highest grade of paradise. In other words, there are no limits to Allah Ta'ala's rewards. So a Muslim, every second phase, stage, sector, aspect of life, wherever he goes, wherever she goes, whatever he does, whatever she does, whatever we're doing, every second we should earn maximum as possible. This is the maqsad and objective of a mu'min. Because the dunya to come, the life to come thereafter, Allah says, don't go and regret there. Like you're regretting, oh, he's got this many shops, I haven't got a house, he's got a small car, he's got a big car, I've got a small car. Allah says, cry here, regret it. But don't let it be that you're regretting in the hereafter. Because you have to stay in the hereafter forever. This life is temporary. So get the best things for thereafter that me and you cannot even imagine what rewards Allah will give to us. Allah wants to give to the mu'min, to the mu'min. So obviously for this, we need to worship. We need to worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there is no specific restriction of time and place for you to worship. Rather, the mu'min's life is such that every second we can be immersed and busy in ibadah, worship. Every second we can earn for the hereafter. And this way, to this end, that a mu'min doesn't need the prayer mat. Rather, he needs the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we're looking for the prayer mat always, then we're lost out. What do we need? The prayer. We don't need the prayer mat. We need the path of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will give us every second reward in our lives. And this is the genuine point, that when we live our life on this platform, with this framework, then the beauty of a believer is that every second, the practice, he won't just be getting thawab. Rather, what thawab will he be getting? What reward will he be getting? We cannot imagine the reward kept aside for those who practice the sunnah, who are busy in the life, the sister, the brother, the woman or the man or the woman, who wants the best level, the highest in the hereafter, who thinks that I need to do ibadah every second, and I need to stay in ibadah, worship every second. I don't need the prayer mat. What do I need? The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His physical way of life. Every second of mine should implement physically what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And that is called ibadah. And when ibadah is done in the form of the sunnah, and you're spending your life every second, and how much reward will we get to every second? How much reward can we imagine? We cannot imagine. Man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. Rasulullah said that the reward for following my sunnah, Nabi al-Kareem said, you will earn my love. Aha, imagine, that's it. End of story, end of. Practicing the sunnah every life earns the love of Rasulullah. So this is the way to worship. So we get double effect. One is the reward that we get from Allah, because you are in ibadah, we will be in ibadah. And the second, the greatest reward, is Rasulullah will love that person. Imagine. Imagine. So this is the beauty of a human being, that he should be in this situation. And alhamdulillah, this hadith, we learn that every second of a Muslim is ibadah, is worship. Our routine life, listen, let's tread carefully and cautiously and live life correctly, properly, thinking, and our life then becomes a beautiful ibadah and pastime. Now, this first point that we learn from this hadith, where at such a situation where people are, for example, here we got the example of the expedition of Badr, the Sahaba Ikram, and they did an action. What did they do? They didn't have enough resources. They didn't have enough animals to ride upon. So they distributed, they split amongst themselves. They had shortage of resources, yeah? Shortage of transportation. So they split up into three groups and they shared the resources. So here's a very good lesson for our lives that normally we see, or regularly we can see sometimes in our lives, where in our daily lives, in our worship, in our travels, and a person has to travel sometimes. For example, if to travel to a dhikr majlis, or a dhikr gathering, or an Islamic gathering, or some dini conference, or, you know, this happens, and it happens regularly. For example, you are here, you've come here, we go to another masjid, a conference, or there's a gathering or an event. So this safar is for the sake of Allah. Yeah, this journey is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this journey, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? The tariqah, the method, should be that every person doesn't have a car, isn't it? Not everybody has a car, not everybody can, or somebody cannot drive. Person A doesn't have a car, person B cannot drive, or person C is not able to go, he's weak, or person D is lazy. negligent, doesn't want to go. He's got an excuse. I don't have a car. I can't go. Who am I going to go with? Oh, it's hard for me to get there. The nafs is overwhelming that person. So this hadith, the spirit of this hadith teaches us that at this time when people are traveling to a majlis, to gatherings or function for the sake of Allah, we're in a journey, then the situation we should create is that all of the people who are going or will be going, we should pay attention that those who are with us and those who couldn't go with us or are not going with us because they don't have a car or a vehicle. So at such opportunities, you need to split up into groups, share out the transportation and cars and go together. And this is according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a great lesson, huh? Great lesson. And this was the way of the Sahaba Ikram, who taught us how to be fair, considerate, and split the resources and share and meet the goal. So big thawab, big reward for mu'ashara, for society. If somebody's lazy, making excuses, oh, I can't go, and you give him a lift, you pick him up. And the action that you're doing is that you're giving somebody a lift, you're seating that person in your car, you've made a system, we've got X number of cars, 5 cars, 20 passengers, oh, he didn't come to Fajr today, this brother, or he didn't come to Dhikr, or he's not coming regularly, what's the issue? You contact that person, phone him, ask him, and then you take the car to that person, give that person a lift, pick him up. Then what a big ibadah. What a big ibadah. But do we ever think this? No, we just see the car. Oh, and then we just go in our car and go ourselves. We don't look left and right. Was there a colleague, somebody to take, somebody to pick up, somebody to help assist? He wanted to go. This is not the way of Islam. And this will be a more greater ibadah with this niya intention that we heard this hadith. And this was the tariqah of the Sahaba Ikram, where they distributed the resources amongst each other and shared the journey. They too went on the camel, one walk. Then they rotated. And the ways of the pious predecessors are great according to the hadith. So we need this in our society today, that for example, alhamdulillah, we all have cars and we all travel every day. We go here, masjid, house of Allah, we wander around, travel, alhamdulillah. And Tamligi Jamaat brothers are always busy in this. They're going out and spreading the deen. So in this here example, many people who are lost out, who can't drive, who don't have a car, so we should create an awareness in our minds that shall I do such an act of worship, which would be a very high level worship accepted by Allah, with this niyyah that this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnati sahaba. This sunnati sahaba. Let's go now forward to the next point. Then in this hadith, it is stated that to walk by foot. Some of the sahaba radiallahu anhu were walking by foot, some were on the animal, on the camel. And when it came to the turn of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both of these companions, who were great companions, and the principle had already been made, the agreement had been made, the other companions were taking turns and following, going on foot when it was their turn. But what did these two sahaba do? That when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's turn came to walk on foot, both of the sahaba said, oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please, you don't walk on foot, we will replace you, and you stay on the camel, you stay on the animal, you don't walk, we will walk for you during your turn. So here the pious predecessors have mentioned a point that a respect and to give honor and respect and esteem to pious people, to good people, is according to the sunnah and is ibadah. And this is worship. Pious people, elder people, righteous people, close to Allah people, people who are close to Allah, people of piety, people who practice the deen, to serve them, to respect them, to honor them, to hold them in esteem, to serve them, to help them, to assist them, to respect them, to serve them, is totally 100% ibadah and worship. And these two companions demonstrated this. So this is also a point that emanates from this hadith. In our society, we really are desperate of this recognition today. Rather today, if somebody is respecting a wali of Allah, or giving him esteem, or honor, or being humble, then people look at that person in a weird way and say, why are you respecting that person so much? Why are you giving him a higher level or honor or respect? What you're doing? Why are you treating him like that? Why are you speaking like this? Why are you respecting him too much? It's too much. Be careful, etc. And today in our Muslim society, Islamic society, we have lost the understanding, this worship of respecting, serving, doing khidma of the walis, of the pious people, of elder people, of pious people. And this is sunnah, this is ibadah, this is worship, and this is demonstrated physically by the sahaba of Rasulullah to have adab in society. And today we have lost this action. In our society, the concept of adab, of giving the rights according to what are due to people, to elders, to youngsters, and respect and honor and esteem and adab and manners and serving, is because we are far from from the deen. The spirituality of the deen has gone out of our hearts. We think the deen is just physical worship and prayer. No, every breath of a mu'min is ibadah. If we get a chance in life that you're shaking the hand of a wali of Allah, a sheikh, you're sitting in his company, or you're seeing that there's a chance to go to see a wali of Allah and he's walking and you're driving, you should give an offer. Give him a lift, isn't it? Seat him in your car. Get the reward. You're driving past him and you just leave him there and you don't have any consideration. And there's no izzah, no respect, no manners, no consideration. And if somebody does it, then we criticize that person. If a brother A gives respect and esteem to wali of Allah, we criticize brother A. What's he doing? Why is he doing this? Why are you respecting this person? Why are you calling wali of Allah? Why are you serving this person? What's this khidmah? But this is a big act of worship and it's proven from the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum. And Rasulullah s.a.w. did not turn them away or say, no, don't respect me. And when they said, oh, that please, you, O Rasulullah, you come on our camel and we will walk. And Rasulullah didn't say, no, why are you saying this? No, you will be disrespecting me or elevating me to too high a level. And there were many other Sahaba who could have done this. But from this action, it is proven that adab and awareness and service and respect and esteem for the walis of Allah, for our pious elders, for the good people, righteous people, we should do this. And by doing this, it will become ibadah, an act of worship. And this is according to the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW and the sunnah of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum. And to reduce this, to criticize this, fair enough if you're not good at this, but you're leaving a chance of worship. You are leaving a chance to do an act of worship. The difference here is that from this hadith, we should understand the meaning. That whenever you, for example, are seating somebody in your car and you're given a share, your niyyah is ibadah. Worship, remember this. This is the hadith. This is why we are discussing this hadith. So it's a reference in our mind. Ah, I heard that hadith. Doesn't matter what the people of the world say. They laugh and joke and jest. Why are you seating these people? Why are you giving them a lift? They've got their own car. He's got his car. He's lazy. Why are you giving an offer of help? Keep the hadith in your mind that this is my niyyah intention. I want to do worship, ibadah, and this is an opportunity for me to do a great act of worship, and I'm going to do this. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Should we do this or not, my brothers? We should. How easy an act of worship this is, and at what darajat we will get the reward, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. Let's go further on this hadith. Now, then, when the opportunity came and Rasulullah sallallahu was given the offer by the Sahaba that please, Rasulullah come on the camel, we'll walk. And Rasulullah didn't reject. He didn't say no, this is wrong against principle. He said, okay, fine, that's adab. I respect what you're saying. And he thought this, Rasulullah, and he said, but don't think that I am less in energy or powerful than you or stronger than you. Yes, and don't think that I'm weak. I'm not weaker than you. And what does this mean? That in terms of energy and power and strength. Now here is a beautiful reward for this day and age, and we should listen to this carefully. We need to understand it. What did Rasulullah, what was the answer he gave to the Sahaba? What was the answer? Rasulullah said that you are saying to me to stay on the camel and you will walk. Then what did Nabi Sallallahu do in reply? He said, fine, your request is okay, but maybe you think that I'm unfit. Subhanallah. Maybe you think that I'm unfit, that I walk a little bit and I'll lose my breath. It'll be hard for me to breathe. I get hard of breath. No, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is not the quality of a Muslim. The quality of a Muslim is fit, totally fit, physically. He's fit. Not that, oh, your back is bent and hunchback and 40 years old and you can't walk more than 2 or 3 feet. Oh, please walk slowly. It's hard for me to breathe. No. This is not the case here. That Rasulullah said, what do you think here? This is the quality of a Muslim. The quality of a Muslim. This is the status of a Muslim. We should be fit and healthy and strong and vibrant health-wise. We should be fit. We should be healthy. Whatever resources we have there, we should be fit. That we should utilize all the resources to be fit. Exercise, weightlifting, cycling, swimming, horse riding, racing, running. And the best, according to this, the learning and the teaching of this hadith, which is the most beloved amal of Rasulullah, which is walking. Walking. So we have to walk by foot. Why? Because nowadays, if we see the exercises, there are many exercises that we can do to keep fit. All of the exercises there are for keeping fit. What happens there is that there comes an age factor eventually. For example, you won't for your whole life be able to do weightlifting. You'll have to change the activity. You won't be able to swim all your life. According to the age, after a certain age, it won't be that easy, isn't it? You won't be always able to play tennis or badminton or cricket. These old sports, alhamdulillah, very good sports, very good. Islamically, we have permission and we should encourage to play these. So to keep fit, there's such an activity that you can do all your life long. And it was beloved to the Prophet ﷺ to walk by foot. Subhanallah. Now there's another hadith narrated in Abu Dawood. And the meaning of this hadith is that walking by foot is such a good action, great action, that Rasulullah said that this will eliminate negligence and laziness. Now what is our situation today? Young men, young women, 30, 40 years, young men, this is not the age to be coughing and spluttering. And we've degraded ourselves so physically, oh man, fit. Oh. And after a while you go shopping, a few hundred meters away, we'll start the car, and it takes an hour to park. In that time, you could have easily walked to the shops from this masjid to the home. How far do we live? 1.5 miles, 1 mile, less than a mile, and the car park's full of cars. Okay, maybe it's cold, a storm winds, or you're ill, or you're weak. Fair enough. You need to use the car. You've got a cold or a flu, you're ill, you've got a fever, or it's too cold or windy. There's a reason. There's a rain's lashing down. But despite that, what reason can there be for not walking to the masjid? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is wrong. The style, the quality of a Muslim is that 30, 40 years and we degrade ourselves physically. Now every second we should be alert, smart, physically fit, beautiful, handsome. Every woman should be looking nice, not a stomach sticking out. And women, especially, we cannot even see today, they eat and drink and just sit where they are. They don't move physically and keep fit and healthy and lightweight. It's necessary for us. And eating? Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us how to eat. And he said, eat the way I ate. Not overeating too many times. We eat. There's a family, mashallah, very healthy and overweight. When you see them, when you look at them, you can't see all of them in one go. They're so, mashallah, healthy and overweight. You have to look at them one by one. Otherwise, they won't fit into the frame. Subhanallah, the meals start from the morning. And the last meal is at 12 midnight. Imagine this. 12 midnight, they had lunch, they had dinner, they had brekkie. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then after that, before sleeping at 12 midnight, there's another meal, and then the takeaways come home, deliveries. So and then they start eating. Allah, okay, fine, eat. But after that 1 hour, exercise then, isn't it? Exercise up and down the stairs, recite the Rushri 1,000 times on the stairs. Yeah? To balance the food. You know your stairs at home go up and down, up and down, up and down, 10, 15 times. On top of that, recite the Durood Sharif. Then your sugar levels, they will totally come down. I'm talking Islam. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us this. And the person who will do this action, the woman who will do this action, I'm telling you the hadith here. The hadith. I'm not telling you, I'm not promoting my company advertisement, come exercise with me. I'm telling you the life experience. When you come into the life now, we are all Muslim, and it's hard for us to walk. It's hard. Oh, I'm 60 years. It's hard. I can't breathe easily. Look at the Sahaba Ikram. Look at their lives. They were old. They used to walk miles upon miles upon miles. And they didn't affect them. Why? Because the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked this action. And one action that is beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did amal on this action, what does it become? Sunnah. Sunnah. And every sunnah has barakah, blessings, rahmah, mercy. And it's the part of life. And it's something that will bring your life into a beautiful mode. And it's ibadah, worship. And if a person is exercising in the morning, are you going to laugh at that person? Yeah? And if that person is physically, externally looks like Muslim, Maulana sahab, pious person, Peer sahab, Mufti sahab, and he starts racing, people say, oh look, he's having a race. He's jogging. Or he's got a beard and he's jogging. What's this got to do with having a beard? What's this got to do with wearing a turban? An imamah? Nothing, because they've understood the hadith that the quality of a Muslim is that the mu'min, that he's not a person who just does one thing and leaves all the other things, that he's got the stomach in front and nothing on the and stomach coming out from the sides. No, the stomach should be in, the chest should be out, and your arms and shoulders and biceps nice and strong. This is the quality of the mu'min. So what's taught here? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in reply, as Ali karamallahu wajhu radhiyallahu, he was smart. All of the sahaba were smart and fit and strong and healthy and beautiful and handsome, beautiful lives they had. Physically fit, exercise, healthy. They had balance of life, eating good and exercising good. And people do this, alhamdulillah. So in our lives, a mu'min, I believe, what is aniyah? We are exercising and staying healthy. And today, from today, buy the trainers. You know, you get Reebok trainers for walking and running. Walk and go out and be fit. And today science tells us, technology, that 20 minutes or 25 minutes to each day of brisk walking will eliminate many illnesses, many diseases, many problems will be eliminated from our lives. You get walking machines, jogging machines, and there are many resources. But what should be the niyyah? the intention, sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the sahaba, keeping fit, healthy, exercise. We start this daily. This is important. This is the meaning of this hadith, that we should be busy. Mu'min should be strong and healthy and fit, not bowing down and hobbling and struggling. And nowadays we all sit all day long, and it's the day and age of working by sitting as well. And people who are teaching, giving dars or madrasa, they're sitting down, then get lazy, negligent, gets used to just sitting and not even walking. Then exercise finishes, healthy life finishes, and very quickly a person becomes ill. Then we run to the doctor, blood pressure, illness, this and that. There's one thing we need to do, which is the exercise that we will do, or for example, staying fit, we will start try to keep fit, or we will improve our diet. The meaning of this isn't this, that you will save yourself from death. Or, and remember this niyyah, many people think, oh, I'm going to stay healthy or keep fit, I don't want to get a heart attack, I don't want to pass away, or this will happen to me. Maut is going to come when maut is going to come. Death is going to come when death is gone. So if we start to get afraid of death and start to take medicines and start racing and jogging, then this is the wrong intention. We have to make one niyyah: Allah, give me health, vitality and energy so I can do the best acts of worship for you. I want to walk to Fajr and walk to your masjid and walk to other places. People have done hajj by walking. Have you ever done hajj by walking? Subhanallah, one brother just came to me recently, and he's a Maulana, mashallah, scholar, and I won't tell you the name of the masjid, otherwise you'll realize he came to me to get permission, young man. I said, what is it? He said, we are eight of us, a group, and we are doing an action. We're doing a certain incentive, initiative, exercise. I said, mashallah, good, it's good to exercise. Very good, Maulana. I said, why are you ashamed of exercising? He said, what we have developed a method is that eight of us this year, Al-Jeeb, mashallah, unique. He said, this year, eight of us, young, mostly, we are young, we will go to the Hajj via the cycle. We will cycle to Hajj, he said, and we will go to Medina, and soon as Ramadan will finish, we will start the journey, and inshallah, after 8 weeks, all the money, the sponsorship funds will come, we will distribute for the needy. Subhanallah. And he said that this many days we plan, and a special bike we will use, and a route we will make, and I'm practicing now, trying to keep fit, and I ride every day 60 minutes, he said this. And we don't even leave the home without the car. We cannot even travel without the car. We get short of breath. We're hard to breathe. What a beautiful incentive. Beautiful initiative. So our youngsters nowadays should have this desire. And with that, before the age we become old. Before the age we become old and give up and retire. And the reason is that our lifestyle is not Islamic. We have just thought that Islam is confined to the masjid. Rather, exercise, keeping fit, me and you, as much as we do amal of exercise, on every footstep we will get reward during exercise. Tell me you leave the home with this niyyah, I will walk by foot. And this was the beloved action of Rasulullah to walk by foot. And on every qadam, on every footstep, you'll get reward. And you get the reward of amal of the sunnah. You'll keep fresh and energy, and you will get the cool fresh air come to you, read Quran, you do dhikr of Allah, and you'll get enjoyment. You'll come to dhikr with the energy, with the vitality, vibrancy, and then you leave home and you go home for being fresh. So should we do this? We should do amal on this. And we think hadith, every hadith will just teach us how to pray or worship, or tasbih will come. Now these things that come, what are these? So just like when somebody tells you, recite this tasbih, recitation or dhikr, we start straight away, oh, I've learned this hadith today, this wazifa. So these are such big wazifa, such big actions that we should do them from the morning, from tomorrow, bring them into our lives. This is ibadah, the worship that's come into our lives. We should try to make effort, alhamdulillah, and this is our part of life. This is part of our ibadah, of worship. We have to do this. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the next point now, it is stated, when Rasulullah ﷺ said in reply that by walking, so Rasulullah ﷺ said that you think I am weaker than you, or I am not as strong as you, or I do not need to walk, and the thawab that is attained by walking. This is another lesson from this hadith, that the thawab attained by walking, Rasulullah ﷺ said, I need this reward as much as you are in need of this reward. And Rasulullah ﷺ gave this next additional point. So what lesson do we get here? Here it is stated that walking by foot, the thawab. Now here a point emanates here. This is an amal that was being implemented, an act of worship, a deen Islamic action. What was happening? That some people were riding on camels. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were riding on camels. And some people riding on what? They were walking by foot. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated here and showed the difference here, that those who ride on the camels and those who go by foot, the amal is one. The practice is one. Yeah, in other words, the action is one. They're going to the same destination. Some are riding by camels and some are going by foot. So it's stated that those, the thawab, the reward by going on foot, what we learn is that due to the hardship, the thawab is greater than the reward that would be attained by going on the camel. You understand what I'm saying? I'll explain further. That, for example, there's one amal, one action. This action was that all the sahaba were traveling to one destination. But if that amal is done with more hardship, with a more of a struggle, with more of an effort, with difficulty, the same amal, the same objective, then that amal that's done with more difficulty and hardship will attain more reward and thawab in comparison to that method that's used with ease. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you don't understand? I'll give you an example, a real example. For example, prayer. Let's say prayer. It's Fajr Salah. Time for Fajr Salah, okay? Now one person, he is used to praying Salah and he enjoys praying Salah and he doesn't, for example, feel sleepy at Fajr time. He wakes up, does wudu and goes for Salah, okay? And then there's another person, he's in the masjid at the Fajr time. He's already in the masjid sitting, he's already done wudu, he's praying Salah. And one man has to come from home to the masjid, same masjid, to pray Fajr Salah. So both have prayed Salah. But person A was already in the masjid from before, he's praying easy for him. Person B had to get up, wash, wudu, come to the masjid. So there's a difference in the reward. The person who came to the masjid to pray Fajr Salah and went to go through a bit of difficulty and hardship will get more reward. So that deed, the same deed, for example, I want to do an amal, an action. For example, I want to wake up for tahajjud, for the morning prayer. So one person gets up in routine for many years, he used to, and the other person, it's difficult, nafs is opposing him, oh, I can't get up, it's not farther than he's tossing and turning and delaying. He says, no, I can't get up, it's hard, it's difficult, cold water to the wudu in the winter, how will I pray tahajjud, it's cold in the house. So it's a difference. First person getting up, habitual, regularly used to it, he's used to it, accustomed to it, and he likes it, loves it, getting up, he's doing wudu with love and muhabbat. And the other person, it's hard, maybe it's a new action, nafs is opposing him, so he's now he's in a tussle with the nafs. Shall I do it? Shall I do dhikr or not? Shall I pray tahajjud or not? Shall I get up or not? Shall I recite Quran or not? So what's opposing that person? The nafs is a restriction, obstacle, making him cool. Like today is cold, severely cold. Some people said, oh, it's too cold, we won't come to the majlis today. Or let's sit at home and listen to the majlis online. We'll put it on our phone or we'll use the receiver and listen to the majlis. And some people, they thought, no, alhamdulillah, it's cold, no problem. But we are physically going to go and sit in the majlis. So it's different, isn't it? They are the people A are listening to dhikr, and group B are listening also. So group A were lazy, negligent, stayed at home, but group B, they made an effort and they went through the difficulty of coming through the cold to the majlis. So every action that the nafs is opposing you and is telling you don't do this, and you crush the nafs and practice this, then you will get more reward. So the lesson we attain here is that when the nafs is overwhelming us and telling us not to do an action, whether you feel like it or not, whether your heart feels like it or not, whether you physically want to do it or not, whether your heart feels like it or not, and you force yourself to do the action, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us here that you will get more reward for that action as compared to if that deed is easy for you. So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that the reward for going by foot is greater than for those who are going on the camel, on the horse, on the transportation. So the point that comes out here is that when your nafs is opposing you to do an action, and the nafs makes it hard to do the action, and you override that nafs and say, no, I will make the effort and do the amal, and you break your desires, split them out, spread them out, and you come to the masjid, to salah, or any other action that the nafs is stopping you to do, and you physically implement the action, Allah Ta'ala says, I will give you double thawab. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ Jannatan, double reward, two paradise reward for the efforts. What a great point here. So a big point comes out here that in life sometimes we'll have something that confronts us, a laziness, neglect, tiredness, oh, I can't go tonight, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next time. And we're talking about dhikr here. For example, many brothers haven't come due to laziness, so we'll sit at home in front of the fire, but you won't get the same thawab, same reward. But those people who've been told not to come here, who've been told not to come here physically, who've been told not to travel here, and they say, no, I'm definitely going to go there. I'm definitely going to reach there. Such brothers who've been told, you don't need to come here physically, you listen online. Those people who've been told not to come, and they listen, they will get the same reward like we are getting physically coming here to the majlis. And if they try to come here physically, then they are disrespectful. They have not listened to the instruction of their sheikh. They will not get no reward, or no thawab, no ajr. Rather, they will get the sin, the punishment of the sin. They are not in that category of people who can come here physically to join into the gathering, the majlis. Yeah? The murid of the sheikh who doesn't listen to the sheikh, the teacher. If we don't have the yaqeen, the murid on the sheikh, whatever the sheikh has told us is for our benefit. For our benefit, whether we see the benefit or not. And I think, no, there's benefit in this action, then he cannot be the murid. He can never be successful on this path. Allah Ta'ala, that if we don't have yaqeen, for example, you've got yaqeen, the people who are here, they've been told and invited, come join in the locality. And the person who's from far who comes, physically he's gone in the opposite way. Those who've been told, so the people who are in the locality, they should come. And if they sit at home, they won't get the reward. But those who are far who've told me not to come, and if they come, they will not get the reward. Rather, they'll get the same reward if they stay afar. And they say, no, I'm going to go and sit in the majlis and get the reward. This is foolishness and nafs. And the person who's doing this is following the nafs, and this is destruction. Destruction. Never can that person who can come, who's honest murid and student, if the sheikh has told him you don't need to come, and he still comes. Remember this always, always. So the genuine article, the genuine action is to oppose the desires. So when the nafs is attacking us, stopping us to do a good action or to get greater reward, for example, order is pray 5 times salah in the masjid, and you are lazy, we are lazy, oh, I'm making excuses, it's cold, it's hard, it's difficult. The nafs suddenly stand it up. That here, I could get double reward. Then the good news here is that put the nafs to the back, and now you say, ah, I'm definitely going to go, I'm going to break the desires today. I'm going to oppose the desires today. I'm definitely going to wake up to the hajj. It doesn't matter what happens. So all of us today make a strong promise that we are going to definitely pray tahajjud. That's it. Because nafs comes, desires come, and so we have to break the desires, because the reward is that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you get more reward for the extra physical effort. And the next point that comes in this hadith is, subhanAllah, that the thawab that is attained by walking on foot. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I am also in need of walking on foot. I am not weak. I am not less stronger than you. I am also fit. And I am also in need of walking by foot. I also need this reward more than you. So the point here is that who is greater than the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? We think here, if we think, consider such a great personality, such a great person. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I also need the reward, and not a small reward. We see here that this wasn't fun. It's not too compulsory. And for this thawab, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did he do? He disembarked from the camel and walked on foot. And he presented his jazba and passion. I am also greedy. I am also in need of reward. I also need to practice so I can get this reward. So the point here is that doesn't matter what rank or status or level you are on as a person, as a Muslim, but to the last breath, before death, we should be greedy for the rewards of the hereafter. Not a minute should a Muslim think, I am pious, I've already achieved what I need to achieve, I don't need to practice anymore. And this is what has made us wasteful today, useless, bone idle. Today in our society, the sunnah of Rasulullah is not practiced. And the big reason for this is, I've already achieved, I am this, I'm pious, I've studied, I've achieved, and academically I'm better. And the jahil, who are illiterate, have gone beyond us in reward and better than the people who are learning. They say, why do I need to do amal on this? The jahil people do this. This is not according to our standard. And this is a poisonous thought and a poisonous attack of shaitan. And the people, you can say so-called learned people, have been devoid now of amal. They're saying, they think that we are greater and higher and beyond this, we don't need to do this. This is just a small sunnah. I don't need to practice this. What difference will this make to my life? Nothing. Astaghfirullah. This is not the case. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us this point. That if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in need of this action, and he gave us this direction and guidance, that never ever think mentally that you are saturated now with the rewards for the hereafter and you've achieved for the hereafter. You have an open playing field in front of you, and with ease you can practice the deed, and it's the sunnah of Rasulullah. Then how can you leave it? How can you call it insignificant and a minor? I don't need it. There's no reward for it. Never ever think like this. Imagine like this. You have a chance, an opportunity, sunnah, and you're leaving the sunnah. The practice of the sunnah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what a big reward you are wasting. One salah without imamah, you are praying. Without the beard, we're praying. oh, no, I can pray like this. It doesn't make any difference. It's accepted, accepted. Is this our standard of Islam? Islam doesn't teach us this standard. Rasulullah said, I don't want any mu'min to be devoid of the highest level of paradise. Highest level. And this, my brothers, this amal that we see practice, some people are practicing, some are not. There are reasons for this. Those who are practicing the sunnah to the nth degree are doing right. And those who leave the sunnah, who think the sunnah is a minor, not necessary, insignificant. Rasulullah said, how can this be insignificant? If I don't deem it insignificant, how can you? Rasulullah taught the sahaba, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Lubaba, their mouths, they stopped. They didn't say anything more. Rasulullah said, don't you think I am in need? Don't I need this thawab in the hereafter? And this is the answer to the ummah. That what trick or trap have you fallen into? Deception. You have yaqeen that you will be forgiven on the day of judgment. And the sunnah you're leaving, the action you're leaving, that will your deed without the sunnah be accepted? Will you be forgiven without this sunnah that you think you've achieved already? You don't need to do the sunnah? Or you think you are pious wali of Allah? That you are wali? This is the standard of Rasulullah, that every second thing, if I do this action with this sunnah in parallel, alhamdulillah, my level will go so high. Why should I leave it? Why should I neglect it? And what makes us leave the sunnah actions? The nafs. And if we beat the nafs and action, do action, let people laugh. Let people say, this is not right. You're a member of this jama'ah, this party, this group. Whatever the people say. But this is the sunnah of Rasulullah. It's the sahaba sunnah. Then close your eyes and do this sunnah. Doesn't matter what people say. And that this is not the style of a mu'min. Of a believer, my friends. Otherwise, what will we earn for the hereafter? Life has passed. Today, me and you were sat here and we recite the kalam and sit down. We wasted our lives in this game. I don't need to practice this. There's no need for this sunnah. So what do I have need for? What do I need for? Any action that is proven and linked to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sunnah of the sahaba, then how can I say I don't need to do this? Close your eyes, close my eyes, and let's do this action. If I know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this, he wore this libas, this attire, he did this action, A, B, C, and he did these things or said these things, the question doesn't arise. We need this. If I can physically practice this action and I have the courage, I have the strength, and I can reach somewhere or do something, how can I waste the reward? So here, the first point is taught here. We need to oppose the nafs if we want something in the akhirah. Okay? Otherwise, how can I say, oh, pray times five times a day? Okay, can somebody give me a guarantee that my salah is accepted or our salah is accepted? Ah, if we do this amal on top of this extra sunnah, then an ajib law principle will be implemented, that those prayers that were weak, they will be strengthened with those deeds that we considered insignificant, and that we will have practiced the nawafil extra, they will be included in our fard salah, and they will elevate our salah to the mode of acceptance. Ah, so it will be said on the day of judgment, bring his nafal, his voluntary actions, his sunnah, they implemented, mix them with his sunnah, with his fard actions that are lacking, and then that will get to the level of acceptance. Should we do this? Of course. Promise today, whatever we know that there is thawab attached to an action, don't look at the world. Let people laugh. People, you know, they're going to laugh at me, sneer at me, snigger at me, man or woman, and brother or sister. Look, the sister knows if I cover my face, or I wear the latabas or the attire, and I've got haya shame, or the person knows. This is not the fatwa of a Muslim, or a mufti, or a scholar, or a mulana, or a ghawsa kutub, the greatest ghawsa kutub, the greatest kutub al-attab, the imam al-anbiya, the imam of the prophets, rahmatullah. He taught us his mercy, that if you do this action of my sunnah, you will get Jannah, paradise. But Rasulullah said first, there will be difficulty, there will be trials, obstacles, restrictions, dunya will test us, they will laugh, joke, snigger at us. But be firm on the path of fairness and greatness and beautiful life as a human being. Say, no, I will not leave this, says the sister or the brother. I want to earn paradise. When we make this our life, the Muslim, the mu'min makes this as a lifetime, as a pastime, then every second the Muslim's in worship, whether you're driving, or you're at your shop, standing in the shopping center, in your business, workplace, or you're running a factory, you're shopping, you're in the marketplace, every second we should be in ibadah. And every woman, whether she's cooking the chapatis, preparing, getting the children ready, and knowing that kneading the dough, or cleaning the clothes, or hoovering, vacuum cleaning the house, 24 hours niyam, that this niyam, doing this for the akhirah, everything becomes worship. Going out, the woman leaves the home in the way that Rasulullah preferred. Leave. This is the way that the woman should leave the home. This is the way she should do shopping, etc. There's nothing. We're not imprisoned in wrong actions. And the house, the environment in the house should be the same. And niyah, ibadah, worship. When there's a restriction, understand that this is the nafs. If we kill the nafs and then implement in the right way, in the way of the sunnah, double thawab, double wood. Will we do this? Inshallah. And one small point I'd like to mention that's come to my heart, that's coming to my heart, which is a cure. That this hadith that I've just recited, and this last point here about thawab, reward, beautiful point here. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us the targhib methodology, that be greedy for the hereafter rewards. What is that? Greedy. Selfish. We should be haris. Yes, for the akhirah. Greedy. Selfish for the hereafter. That don't leave one deed that will give reward for the hereafter. Even if they pick up a twig, tell somebody the way to go somewhere, take the rocks or the stones out of the way of the path to remove the obstacles from people's paths. Do it. Do it. Do every action for the hereafter. Don't waste any action. What's the reward for being greedy for the hereafter? Harisa akhirah. To be greedy for the hereafter, then the person will get a big reward and he'll be saved from a big difficulty and he'll be saved from a big problem. Such a big problem and difficulty that it's difficult all life long. It's hard for us to get out of that difficulty. Very difficult. And then by doing this action, a person will come out of that difficulty. But being greedy for the hereafter, when we're greedy for the hereafter, then we're saved and we come out of that problem. Do you know what that problem is? Subhanallah. That is the greed for the world. These are two opposite things. If we become greedy for the hereafter, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the greed and the love of the world out of our hearts. Experience this and you'll see. Dunya, you'll come out of the greed for the world, and that nothing else can take this love and greed of the world out of our hearts. It's ingrained in hearts. But when you become greedy for the hereafter and you practice actions and you gather every little small thing, then Allah Ta'ala gives a reward in this world that He makes you detached and independent of the love of this world, and then you'll have greed for the hereafter and you'll follow the right and the straight path. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do amal on this hadith. It's a beautiful hadith. Alhamdulillah. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Ameen.